Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. This is the story of Oregon's first used oxen dealership. I guess you could call it that. I'm talking about the Grand Ronde Valley and the Native Americans there who ran the Oregon Trail's Oasis and used oxen dealership. In the 1840s, the tribes there were making good money, buying immigrants' shagged out oxen for half price and then selling them the following year for double price. The emigrants didn't like that much, but most of them didn't hesitate. The story was first published on December 21st of 2009, so this is one of the old ones. Here we go. In the midst of some of the roughest and least hospitable country in the West, the Grand Ronde Valley is a bit like an oasis. Or at least that's how it seemed to emigrant parties that came through headed for the Willamette Valley on the Oregon Trail. The valley itself follows the Grand Ronde River through northeast Oregon, surrounded by the Blue Mountains with the Wallawas to the east and the Eagle Cap Wilderness to the south. It's actually surprisingly tiny, maybe 15 miles wide and 35 miles long. But for hundreds of generations, it's been known to locals as a highly productive little Garden of Eden. It was an especially important part of the Oregon Trail from the 1840s up until the Civil War broke out. Once an emigrant party made it to the Grand Ronde Valley, it had straggled across hundreds of miles of the Great Plains, crossed the Continental Divide in Wyoming, and thrashed through hundreds more miles of Rocky Mountains, and topped it off with the blistering arid Snake River Desert in Idaho. Throughout this whole time, they were constantly fighting off attacks by hostile Native American tribes, and by the time a party got to this tiny, fertile valley, it was typically pretty played out. This was more applicable to the animals than the people. After all, people could rest when they needed to, sitting on the wagon while the oxen dragged it up yet another mountain pass, but those oxen, when they got skinny from lack of forage, unhealthy from lack of rest, and exhausted from too much work, nothing the emigrants could do, nothing they could give them on the trail was going to help them recover. What they needed was a month on good grass with no load behind them. They needed to be pastured. They needed to rest. And that's where the Native Americans in the region could help. For a fee. The Nez Perce, Cayuse, Walla Walla, and Umatilla tribes had no use for oxen, except maybe for the occasional bad winter when better meats were unavailable. But they quickly figured out that they could make a lot of money on the things. These tribes would take the skinny, exhausted draft animals off the emigrants' hands for essentially 50% of their value. Then they'd equip the party with fresh draft animals and send them on their way to the Willamette Valley. Where did the fresh oxen come from? Last year's emigrants, of course. The Indians had bought exhausted oxen from last year's travelers and pastured them out on the lush grasslands of the Grand Ronde Valley. A year later, they were fresh and ready to take a new crop of immigrants west across the rest of the mountains to the Willamette Valley. There were another 300 miles or so of Blue Mountains, Cascade Range, and terrifying river voyages still ahead before the parties would get there. It was a classic win-win situation. Immigrant parties whose livestock would never have pulled through got a fresh set, tribes got a nice revenue stream, plus a great supply of emergency food for the winter. With their customers desperate, the Native Americans could charge almost anything they liked for their fresh oxen. The wonder isn't that they marked them up 100%, but that they didn't mark them up more. Of course, that didn't stop some of the immigrants grumbling about it. Quote, "The Nez Perce can beat a Yankee peddler in a trade," one exasperated and out-of-pocket emigrant groused. But he paid up. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch in your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components too, YouTube channel, that kind of thing. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is an Atlas String Band track, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon History for the fun of it, and to learn things. So I don't sell advertising and I don't ask for donations. But if you do enjoy Offbeat Oregon history and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy my book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and you can pick a copy up at a community bookstore near you, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. The book sells for $20. Finally, if you ever happen to be in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or you can tweet at me, @offbeatoregon. Our next show will be coming up at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.